You may be seated, and if you're not already. And our scripture is from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. This is the New Living Translation. I like this translation a lot. My own personal Bible is the King James Version, New King James Version. I like the New King James Version because it still has some of the "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," it still uses words like "whosoever." But I like this because it's like more modern English. "Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen." You know what Amen means? "So be it." So be it. He's the "so be it." The faithful and true witness. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the beginning of God's new creation. He is the Word, and the Word became flesh. He is. "I know all the things." So this is from Jesus. He says, "I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Some translations say "spew you out of my mouth." Some translations say "vomit you out of my mouth." The original Greek word for that is "fuck." I was just kidding. See if you're paying attention. It means it's not a good thing, right? If someone spits something you cooked out of their mouth, you don't take that as a compliment. "You say, I am rich." Now, he's saying this to the church in Laodicea. "You say, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing." And you don't realize that you're wretched and miserable. And remember these three words. "And you are poor and blind and naked." Or as we say in the southern part of the state, naked. You are what? Poor and blind and naked. That's key. So I advise you to buy gold from me. Who are we going to buy it from? Jesus. "Gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also, buy white garments from me, so you will not be shamed by your nakedness. And ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. A parent who doesn't discipline their children is not showing love. That's easy to say when you're 50 years old. It's difficult to do when you're 23. Or how old are you? 30. Are you that old? It's difficult to do when you're 30. And it's difficult to accept when you are, how old are you? 19. How old are you? 18. How old are you? 16. How old were you before you're allowed to start dating? 16. That's hard to accept, isn't it? When all the other 15-year-olds are dating, and you know what all they're doing, don't you? Her eyes just, no, they didn't. She knows what they're doing. How old are you? 13? Is it hard when your parents tell you no? Just say yes. All right. "I correct and I discipline everyone I love." Some of you, even you young people, you have friends that were allowed to do whatever they wanted. That's not love. And Annie's going, "Man, I wish Maddie was here." Right? Or you're going, I wish Lindsay was here. Not that they're bad girls. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So this letter to you in Laodicea, it's written in love. If I didn't care and if I didn't think there was any hope, you wouldn't be getting a letter. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Man, that sentence right there reminds me of Martin Luther King. He said, history is not going to find that the biggest culprit, I'm paraphrasing this, in the persecution and slavery and the civil rights problems, the biggest problem wasn't the people who were persecuting us. The biggest problem was the people who were doing nothing. The biggest problem were the people who were doing nothing. That's what Martin Luther King said. And that's what Scripture says. It's your indifference that just drives me nuts. Whatever. Look, I stand at the door and knock. And I didn't have this insight at 8:30, but I did at 9:30. Listen to this. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together. Don't forward yet, okay? Sophie, keep it there. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. There's a picture back here that used to be at the front of the church, and now it's at the back of the church. It's Jesus knocking on the door. And you know what someone pointed out to me this morning? I may have known this at one time, but I have since forgotten it. There's no doorknob on that picture. He's standing on the door knocking. He can't open the door. Now, I know we could do a theological study about him walking through the door, because when he came to the disciples in the upper room, the door was locked and he just came through. He's not going to open that door. He's knocking to see if you will open it. And so what are you supposed to listen for to open the door? Wrong! No! This is what he gave me at 9:30 church today. What are you supposed to listen for? His voice. No. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. There's a lot of knocking out there. And what do? Who has to at least go look out the window to see who it is? If it's two guys in dark suits and dark hair, don't open the door, because it's either Men in Black or the Mormons. You listen for his voice. Does that sound familiar? In the Old Testament, Elijah goes out on the mountain and he's searching for God, and there's an earthquake. But is God in the earthquake? No. And there's a... what else is there? A wind. Is he in the wind? No. What's he in? Still small voice. We don't listen for the knock, people. Or we at least don't answer the knock. We hear the knock and we say, who is it? It's Little Red Riding Hood, and I've got some goodies for you. It's the delivery man. It's the pizza delivery guy. I didn't order a pizza. I can't stress this enough. I know God gave me this. We don't answer the knock. We answer the voice. And I had a farmer, a real true farmer. I don't know if there's any real true farmers up here, but I had a real true farmer at 9:30 church this morning. And I said to the 9:30 farmer, the real true farmer, do sheep really know? Have you ever heard sheep know the sound of the shepherd? I mean, it's in the Bible. But is that fact-based? And the farmer said, absolutely. The sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. When there's a knock and you say, who is it? You be aware that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. He transforms his minions into angels of light so that they knock. And we answer. And it's not Jesus. Or we never answer. All right, so I've spent enough time here. It's the voice. It's the voice that we listen for. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. And I pray that God adds his Holy Spirit so that we can understand what he's saying to us. So let me tell you, as I've tried to do throughout this talking about the churches, I've tried to tell you a little bit about the churches. And you don't remember, but some of you have taken some notes. But this is my favorite because there's some really cool stuff in here. So this church in Laodicea, it was 5 miles from this hot spring. Now, have any of you ever been in a hot spring? Not to a hot spring, but you've been in a hot spring. Oh, man. Diane and I have done so much stuff. Anybody else? Diane and I have done so much stuff, but we've never been in a hot spring. And so when I mentioned this at 8:30, she said, let's go. I don't technically have a bucket list, but that is now on my bucket list. I'm going to go to a hot spring. You know what a hot spring is, Alex? Good. I'm glad you don't, because now I can explain it to you. A hot spring is a place where warm or hot water comes bubbling up out of the ground because the core of the earth is really hot. And so when there's some water that comes up out of the ground that's heated by the earth, and they call it a hot springs. Springs is from a place where water flows from, and hot means it's what? Hot. That was a trick question. Hot springs. So 5 miles from Laodicea is a hot springs. And it flows for 5 miles to the city of Laodicea. And by the time it gets there, what do you think it is? Well, it ain't cold. It's lukewarm. Somebody's paying attention. It's lukewarm. And historians tell us that it picks up a lot of lime along the way, a lot of lime, so that when you drink it, you almost want to spit it out. How cool is this? He's writing to the church in Laodicea. They can understand lukewarm. The people there would be going, man, I wish this water was either hot or cold. Right? Okay, so Laodicea, it's the center of banking in that region. Huge banking area. Everybody, you know why Jesse James said he robbed banks? Because that's where the money is. Who knew that? That's where the money is. Huge banking center here. So a lot of wealthy people. There is a huge industry in this special wool that they would get from some animals there. And this wool is black. And so they made a lot of money. Everybody around, nobody wore red, nobody wore orange. Guess what color everybody wore? black, because that's what color the wool was. So they've got this wool, they sell this wool. So A, they're a center of banking. They all have clothes made of a certain wool. And the third thing about this place is they had a big medical center there. It's not like Ruby, but you know, a big medical center. And they made this special... Diane's worked with a lady who was... she was really big into herbs. And she made this stuff called comfrey salve. Diane has... Anybody ever heard of comfrey salve? Oh, man, you could probably make some money if you'd... This is like a miracle stuff. You put it on a burn. I know you're thinking aloe, but this is something made of a bunch of different herbs, and this lady she knows makes it, and Diane swears by it. Comfrey salve. This place, this medical center, this center of medical stuff, they had this salve, this balm that they would make, and people would come from all around to get it. And it was specifically for the ears and the eyes. Okay, so center of banking. They all had clothes made of a special wool. And there was a medical center that they had a special salve that they manufactured. So go back to verse 17. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable. And God says you are poor and blind and naked. How many of you think, I mean, don't raise your hands because nobody will raise them, but isn't that awesome? That now you know when the Lord is saying to them, you're poor, blind, and naked, and they're going, you're crazy. We're wealthy. And we're not naked. We've got this special wool. And we're not blind. We people come here to get sight. And God says, through Jesus, through John, that you buy the stuff to clothe you, to make you considered wealthy, and to help you see from who. He says, buy this stuff from me. Oh, it's society sells it. But if you buy what society sells, you're not seeing what you need to see. I know the air's kicked on and some of you are going, oh, thank God. And others of you are going, oh, I need to put my coat on. This is the weird time of the year. So the thermostat's set and it furnace runs in the morning and then it starts to warm up and the air comes on. So you're poor, blind, and naked, and they say, on the contrary. On the contrary. All right. It's the materialistic view versus God's view. And he says, I wish you were either hot or cold. I want to talk to you for a minute about lukewarm. Are there any Marshall fans in here? Okay. Well, where we came from, it was Marshall territory. Okay. It was heavy Marshall territory. One of my first two or three sermons back where we were before was, I am who I am, and I am a Mountaineer fan in Marshall country. I tried to root for Marshall, but they hate us. They hate West Virginia. They're not lukewarm about West Virginia. They really do. And I'm lukewarm about Marshall. I try to root for him. I mean, the head of the lay leader one year at Mason, he had a Marshall tattoo on one arm and a Jesus tattoo on the other arm. That's Ralph. I'm not kidding you. Has a Marshall tattoo on one arm, Jesus on the other arm. But there was this one time that Diane and I took, I think you went with me, took some of the kids down to Marshall University, and we were watching girls volleyball. because one of the girls who went to our church at Sistersville, that's mine and Diane's home church, one of the girls who went to our church, graduated from the local high school where Adam graduated from, she went to Marshall to play volleyball. And by her sophomore, junior year, she was awesome, obviously an awesome volleyball player. And so we went down to see them, and I never cheered so hard for Marshall in my life as when Cameron Yoho was playing volleyball. And so she came over after the game, after the match, and she talked to us and some of the kids. The little girls got their picture taken. It was really cool. I cheered really hard for Marshall. And the rest of the time, I'm like, I hope they do well. It's sort of like the difference between us having Adam in high school and Adam being with us now. Adam plays soccer for AC. And when he was in high school, I'm going to venture to say the only time that either Diane or I missed a soccer game was when we were either, A, when I was working, or when Matt had something, and then you would divide and conquer. You'll learn about that if you haven't already. Adam had a game at AC on Saturday. Not at AC, but with AC. He had to catch the bus at 7:30 in the morning. It was on the Eastern Shore. Took him about three hours to get there. And Diane and I were going, have a good day, Adam. It's raining. It's cool. It's too far. It's too early. And the Mountaineers are on TV. So, have at her. Don't get hurt. Let us know you're okay. Let us know how it ends up. You see what I'm doing here? And the Lord says, I want the same kind of commitment that you give band camp. What kind of commitment does it take at band camp? A lot. Like, if we had VBS that week of band camp, is the band director going to say, oh, that's okay, you go ahead and do your vacation Bible school stuff? No. I know people who have 150 days saved up from work. Like, you get so much vacation time. Has anybody ever done that? Like, you just have tons of days saved up from work because you never miss work. You know what I'm talking about, right? Some people, I had a brother-in-law who retired from the military 6 months early because he had all these days saved up that he never used. And he didn't really retire 6 months early, but he got to quit 6 months early, got paid for 6 months, and then he retired. God wants that kind of commitment from the church in Laodicea. Charles Spurgeon, there's a quote that I have here, and this is going to be my closing. There's a quote that I have here. Can you find it? That's okay. I've got a lot of stuff on there. If Christ is not all to you, He is nothing to you. He will never go into partnership as a part Savior of men and women. This is written by Charles Spurgeon hundreds of years ago. If He be something, He must be everything. And if He be nothing, if He be not everything, He is nothing to you. The Oregon shooting, most of you are aware that the reports from the people in the room had the gunman in there, people on the floor, and they would stand up and he said, are you a Christian? And if they said yes, he shot him in the head. You're aware of this, right? I mean, the news isn't really reporting it very much, but this is what the witnesses say. I saw something in social media in the last day or two. It said the bravest person in America was the second person to stand up out there and say, yes, I'm a Christian. If the first person, if the guy maybe is like a wacko Christian and he's wanting to kill everybody else who's not Christians, and he goes in the room and he says to the first person, are you a Christian? And they say, yes. And he says, okay, go over there, you're okay. And he says to the second, is the second person a Christian? Absolutely! I've just been converted. Right? Everybody on that floor is now a Christian. But because he shot the first one, the second one, I guarantee you the second one was a Christian. It's not one of those things you're going to lie about. Yeah, well, you know, I go to church, but I wouldn't really say I'm a follower of Christ. So, I don't know, what's your definition of Christian? And then he would say, you're not one. Next. I know I've spent some time talking about this morning. But my gosh. And I'm not calling anybody lukewarm. And I'm not calling our church lukewarm. But I feel like I'm supposed to tell you today that you're supposed to go home and ask yourself, am I lukewarm? Doesn't it scare you to death? It scares me to death that I might be lukewarm, that I might be spit out. I compare myself to Mother Teresa, and it scares me to death. Sometimes I wonder about the United Methodist Church, insurance and retirement package. And if and when the time comes that God says, go to Haiti, am I going to be willing to do it? Heavenly Father, we have places to go and people to see, and games to watch. And I don't want to leave here today myself. And I pray this for the people in this room. If they're not sure, that you're not talking about them, I pray they would not leave this place until they know. That if they would have to spend all night here and miss work tomorrow, there's nothing more important in our lives than to know that we're following you. And I know, God, sometimes people don't like to be questioned, and I'm not questioning anyone. There's obviously people in here that are not lukewarm, who are good with you, and you know who they are. But I can't imagine that every time a bunch of people gather that there aren't some in the midst who would just admit that they're lukewarm and that they're okay with it. I pray for them, God. I pray that because you love them, that you would do what it takes to move them from the lukewarmness. And because I love them, Lord, I pray that you will never, ever let me dilute
your word to appease anyone. I pray that your Holy Spirit would encourage those who need encouraging today, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict those of us who need convicted today, and I pray that we wouldn't run from it, and I pray this for the glory of Jesus Christ, and it's in His name I pray. Amen.